You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Cashman. It's going to be joined by Scott Merkin and talk about a White Sox team that, no matter how much stock you put in my opinions, myself and some other people are starting to view as a nice little sleeper for 2015. The White Sox are starting to put some pieces together, and they'll probably have some money to spend this winter, so they'll be an interesting team to watch as we get into the offseason. But let's bring in Merk to talk about that. Scott Merkin, when he's not following Garth Brooks around or following the Eagles around, he occasionally goes to White Sox games. And
Merk, that was a great concert, by the way, Garth Brooks.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. Life-changing. Not as life-changing as a Bruce Springsteen concert, which you refused to see, but
or the, life-changing. But, yeah, that's another podcast altogether, though, probably.
Absolutely. Merk, you talked to Rick Hahn earlier this week, and you know the White Sox, they have, what, about $45, $46 million tied up before you look at arbitration cases. That's obviously a low figure for 2015, and it seems like Rick's going to have some money to work with this winter. And I want to put you on the spot here. If you're Rick Hahn, how do you go about spending that money? Maybe not specific players, but what are your areas of emphasis, I guess, as you look to take this team to the next level?
Well, I think you need a left-hand. Well, you definitely need a left-handed bat to help protect Abreu and Avi Garcia in the middle of that order. And of course, the name that keeps popping up because of the fact that he's had an MVP caliber season and he's going to be a free agent is Victor Martinez. And you know, a great clubhouse guy, a great player, can play a little bit of first base too. And I think the Sox are looking for a guy who's not just a pure DH. You know, it doesn't have to be like a guy who, you know, can play 80, 90 games in the field, but a guy that if you need to put him out there can do it, and Victor fits that category. That's just an example. There are other options out there, but that's a name you hear that pop up a lot. You know, I think they need another, probably a right-handed starter. Now, the interesting situation for that one is, you know, you have Chris Sale and Jose Quintana, who are, you know, top two guys, and a pretty good top two, I'd say, match up against a lot of top twos in baseball. Then you have Carlos Rodon, who has a pretty good chance, or is being given the chance, I should say, before you even see him pitch next February, is being given the chance to break camp with the team as a third starter. And then you have John Danks, who's, you know, kind of falls in that good innings-eating category and can probably move himself up as, you know, depending on, you know, he's shown that he can be more than just a guy who throws 200 innings and has the 4.3, 4.4 ERA. He's won 13, 15 games in a season, throws 200 innings. And Hector Noesi has done a great job at the back end of the bullpen, but are you going to go with that group? You know, it's kind of hard to trade John right now because of the fact that he's owed $28.5 million, somewhere in that range, in the last 2 years of his contract. So do you look and, you know, take a chance, a guy they really love in Jose Quintana, but a guy who also would bring a huge return probably? Do you look and possibly explore trades involving him? So it'll be interesting how the rotation comes out. I think they're going to look for another catcher to go with Tyler Flowers, who's had a solid season and has proven that he can be an everyday type of player. But I think they'll probably look for maybe a left-handed hitting complement to him. And I would say, geez, it's probably three relievers. You know, the bullpen has some nice young arms. Jake Petrischka, Daniel Webb come to mind right off the top of my head. But I would think they're going to look for some, you know, a couple relievers. And not necessarily a closer per se, although that could happen, but more veteran guys who can probably do both the setup and pitch in the ninth inning if needed. So there's a long list, and again, Rick said this when they began this reshaping process last year, that it's not all going to happen at once, and it may not all happen this offseason. No one knows what the exact payroll is going to be until November, but I think they're going to make a significant move into that next step to kind of fulfill that sleeper prophecy going into next year.
Yeah. Well, you just spent all their money, Merk. You just spent every last dime in that.
Yeah, that's it. I got it. Now, if it was just that easy, you know, unfortunately, it's not like free agency is not like day camp where you call dibs and you get it or something like that. So just because they like Victor Martinez doesn't mean that he's going to go there. Victor Martinez, I'm going to guess, is going to have more than one team offering him a solid deal in the offseason, including the one he is taking to the pub team, having to take the playoffs right now, the Tigers. So, yeah, but if it all works as I have it planned out, then Rick is set. Rick's going to have an easy offseason. He's just got to match the money to the players pretty much, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, one thing with Vic is the Tigers will be the only team that wouldn't have to fork over a draft pick to sign him. So that's going to be, one issue in his market on top of his age. But he's certainly, certainly proven himself adept at the plate, even at that advanced age. So that'll be interesting. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, Mark, and it's my fault.
let's stay in the present tense for just a minute now. They're trying to finish September strong. White Sox haven't had a winning September since 2010. And obviously in 2012, that loomed very large in the AL Central race with the Tigers. So, you know, I was talking to Jose Abreu last week about, you know, his season and where things stand with this club. And he said, you really got the sense that not only does he want to be great individually, he wants to be on a great team. And he even tweeted something to that effect after they came back to beat the A's earlier this week, said, we're working hard to finish strong. Do you get that mindset from this club that they do want to, kind of go out on a winning note here and charge into the offseason? Obviously, every club does, but is it a particular sense of urgency on the part of the White Sox, just given the way the last few seasons have gone?
Well, I would say it's kind of two parts. I don't know if it's urgency. I mean, every team, like you said, wants to win, and they want to win as many games as possible. But I think it's a little unfair to base their season on what they do in September because of the fact they are playing a lot of young guys. And yeah. Guys who are call-ups and guys who are prospects. And this is really becoming kind of an evaluation period. And I know, you know, fans don't want to hear that. They want to go out. They don't want to see a five-error game like they had against the A's. They want to see good baseball all the time. But this is all part of the process. And we're all fans of something or another, and it's kind of hard to rationalize or kind of come to terms with that maybe they won't win a ton of games this month. But they're looking at a guy like Andy Wilkins and seeing, is this a guy we can pencil in next year that can help us? And then maybe we don't have to, you know, fill that spot through free agency or trade. We can allocate the money elsewhere. That's the biggest thing for Rick in the offseason is just, you know, they have money to spend, but where do you allocate it in terms of biggest need? You know, you're looking at second base with Carlos Sanchez and Marcus Semien. Micah Johnson was shut down with a hamstring injury, or he'd be there too. So, and, you know, Chris Bass is getting a start against the A's. He's another guy, you know, to check out. So there's all sorts of, Scott Snodgrass pitched in relief in the game where the Sox made five errors. So they want to win. It's important to go into next year, but I don't think it's important to go, you know, 16-2 down the stretch as it is to see these guys play and really get an idea. And now again, it's just 1 month. You're playing against some good teams and some exceptional pitching, so it's not a completely accurate view. But you do get an idea. You do get a better idea seeing these guys play 25, 30 games than you do seeing them hit at Charlotte in a park that's, you know, kind of a hitter's park, and not taking anything away from those stats, but you get a better view up here. So winning is important, always, yes, but I think playing good baseball and getting an idea of what these younger guys are about is more important to the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, the one guy I think all of us want to see finish strong, you know, literally physically strong, is Paul Konerko, and he fractured that bone in his hand on a play in the field and hasn't played since as we sit here talking about this, but he vowed he'll finish on the field. He said it was encouraged enough by the stride he's made with the hand that he'll at least get up there. He said even if he has to stand at the plate and take three pitches, he will bat at least one more time before all is said and done. But what's your overall gauge on Konerko's condition and you know his potential to finish the season strong?
I would think, you know, talking to him recently, I would think at the worst, he probably plays a couple. The Sox finished with four games at home against Kansas City. So I think at the very worst case scenario, he plays a couple games in that. Maybe he starts one game and then that Sunday game to close the season, he goes out and plays a couple innings and gets the thunderous ovation as his last, you know, game as a major leaguer and as part of the White Sox. And, you know, he said, though, that's not his target. He wants to be back. He wanted to be back against the Twins this weekend. Not sure if that's going to be possible, but he's definitely looking at some point during the road trip where they go to Kansas City, Tampa, and Detroit, so he's not coming in cold for that Kansas City series. So Konerko's a pretty driven guy, and he's got a pretty high pain tolerance, so I think at some point in that road trip, maybe that Tampa series, which is the second of the three-game series, you see him play a game return. You know, he wasn't going to play every day anyway, so it's not like they're losing everyday play from him, but, you know, it's basically a question of maybe six or seven games versus three or four games because of this injury. I think that road trip seems realistic unless, you know, we haven't talked to him for a couple of days, so unless something has changed in that process.
When the injury was first reported and you read some things, it sounded grim as far as him being able to get back this season, but there's that kind of nagging thought that it's hard to imagine Paul Konerko's career ending like that. You definitely get the sense he's going to do everything he can to get back on the field.
Yeah, I don't think he would let it end like that. Like, you know, like you said, unless it really was just, you know, I think even if, as he pointed out, even if he comes up and pinch hits in a game and takes three strikes and sits back down, he'll get out there. But I really do think he's going to be able to get out there and play, you know, geez, at least, like I said, a game and some change in that final game. You know, even if it's, you know, partial games in Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, the 27th, is Paul Konerko Day, and that's the big ceremony honoring him that night before the game against the Royals. So maybe he plays half of that one and then plays a few innings Sunday, and that's it. But that, I would think, again, is the worst-case scenario. But he's got drive like few other, and I've seen him overcome, you know, a lot. I've seen him get hit in the face in a game by Carl Pavano by a pitch and then get a home run two at-bats later. So you don't count anything with Paul Konerko. If he says this next road trip, I believe he'll be out there the next road trip.
Well, yes, we'll see. It's the end of the line for Paul Konerko. We want to definitely wave him off well, and the White Sox will welcome in a 2015 season where they can definitely be an interesting team to watch, especially with some money to spend this winter, and even though Merck just spent every last dime of it in this podcast. So I want to thank Scott Merkin for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.